Now, today we are going to read from the Acts of the Apostles as Paul and Silas are beginning their travels that will take them deeper and deeper into the Roman Empire. So they've largely been kind of sticking close to home. They're sneaking across some borders here and there. And now they find themselves in Philippi, which is a Roman colony, kind of a place where all the Roman military used to go to retire. This is deep in the heart of the empire. As it has always been when followers of Jesus go on the move, that travel will mean that they will encounter the full diversity of the world of belief in their time. It's kind of similar to us right now. They're going to meet people of deep faith and people of no faith. They will meet people from the Roman civic religion and worship of the emperor Augustus Caesar, down to folk religions of local spirits, demons and possession, all these sorts of things. As they travel this day, they will meet a woman who has been taken from her family, or maybe even abandoned by her family. And so she has been enslaved. But she also has a special gift. She has a spirit that has plagued her personally, but it has allowed her to be someone who can, roughly, it means that she can tell people's fortunes. She's kind of like a palm reader, maybe. This gift, though it has been a trouble for her, it has enriched those who are her captors. That is, until one day, along the side of a road, listen to these words.
One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High, who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what do I need to do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer of God.
There is a lot that happens in this story. There are a lot of people who are free, and there are a lot of people who are in bondage, and there are a lot of people who are freed. And much like the complexities of life, for each of us and all of us, it can be hard to tell what binds you and what sets you free. Freedom has, after all, too often become just another word for us all. Maybe not just another word for nothing left to lose. All apologies to St. Janice. But just another word, quite honestly, because I find more and more these days, freedom tends to go with soda and beer commercials and fireworks. Freedom gets used as a verbal cudgel by political opponents on one another. And yet it is still a very tender and important word to our lives. And so before I go on, I'm going to ask for you to pray with me and for me. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We can lose track of what freedom means for ourselves and for others. I wonder what this woman with a spirit thought it meant. Had she always ever just known this? Slavery and exploitation. Had she always been measured by the amount of money she could bring in for her captors, no matter the cost to her body, no matter the cost to her mind? What did she dream it would look like? Freedom. We should just get this out of the way right now. Paul and Silas are not really great evangelists in this story. They never even ask her what she wants. What would make her whole? They seem, all in all, utterly disinterested in her. We never even know her name. Now, the Bible can often be challenging in this way. There are many women who are never named, even here in Acts, but we have been on a bit of a good run recently. We can meet the hospitable and successful businesswoman, Lydia, who was kind of a pillar of the church. We can hear of that miracle that came to the disciple, Tabitha. But this girl, trapped in slavery, has no name. And Paul and Silas don't seem in any rush to get to know her. Largely what we learn about Paul and Silas is that they can get annoyed and cast out spirits in the name of Jesus, possibly just out of spite, which seems not a great reason to do things. The divining woman proclaims Paul and Silas to be what they are, I guess. You'll notice in the New Testament, demons and spirits have a habit of seeing the truth of Jesus and his disciples when others cannot. And I have always found in life that those who face the world's injustice often have a way of seeing the truth beneath the glare of shining life. She calls them slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. Our scriptures know how to do irony, right? The slave girl calls the disciples slaves here to set us free. And so they do. Aggravated by the constant and maybe loud but true commentary from the slave girl, Paul and Silas, almost out of that aggravation, almost by accident, cast out that spirit and discover, maybe, that being a disciple has profound implications for how we deal with the social and economic liberation of other people. Jesus shows up and the spirit is gone, and we are left to wonder, is she free? This is what I mean by bad evangelists. If you're asking at the end, is she free? With a real question mark, something has gone wrong. What does she think freedom even means? We can never know. I suppose the best we can hope for is that her captors, having lost their profit center in her divining gifts, have lost their motivation to keep her. But we don't know that for sure. We don't know. Is she just now a slave, but without so much value to her owners? What I hope we do here, if we keep reading along with Paul and Silas, I hope what we hear is that they continue to break open as they tell the story of Jesus in love to wider and wider crowds, even when they find themselves singing hymns in a Roman prison for daring to interrupt the commerce of injustice. The black feminist theologian and teacher Bell Hooks says, "The practice of love is the most powerful antidote to the politics of domination." So I hope that's what Paul and Silas are learning through this experience. They are learning to practice love to undo domination. Because if you don't practice it with love, you may just be making your own life more convenient. You may cast out spirits just so they don't annoy you anymore. If you follow Jesus along that path, along that practice of love, it can lead you to a prison. But you might, in the end, walk out free and singing more than you were when you went in. Because the world needs us to be transformed into singers of love. I hope that Paul and Silas leave that prison better equipped to know and love others. I hope they leave more free. Because there are so many who do not have names. Because domination has many forms. It is wherever what one can produce is valued over one's humanity. And I dare say many of us don't have to imagine too hard to find examples of that. There are abusive labor practices, abusive relationships. There are still, to this day, people who engage in human trafficking and slavery here in this country and around the world. Myriad ways in which we may be trapped in systems that honor our production more than our humanity. And the more I have spent time with this woman who yearned to be free this week, the more I have had to think about and reflect. Because we are in a season of our national political life in which we are again seeing state governments seeking to control and bind the bodies and lives of women. Recent legislation in places as far-flung as Alabama and Ohio have begun to challenge long-held rights of women to control their bodies, their choices, and their lives' own paths. In the midst of all of this, and all the tenderness that I know these conversations bring up in all of us, and all of the struggles of determining how life comes to be and how freedom is expressed in our lives, I'm thankful that throughout our history, and especially since 1971, the United Church of Christ has spoken often and clearly When we consider the multiplicity of ways in which we honor and celebrate the gifts of life, we must also honor the freedom and agency of women to make choices about their lives, about their reproductive health, about their very bodies. We have, as a body in the UCC, felt called to speak out when we see others trying to remove that freedom and agency through legislation, illegal trafficking, dehumanization of others in language or in behavior or any other way. For God speaks freedom into our lives, this story tells us. This gospel of Jesus that Paul and Silas were carrying was for the freedom of all who encountered it, even if they did not know it. In this story, this gospel enslaves two disciples to its love and power. It frees the diviner from her spirit. It breaks the economic chains of her captors. It destroys a prison, and in so doing, it frees a prison guard, by the way, from a life of servitude to an empire that thrived on fear rather than love. Remember the first thing the prison guard does? Nearly kills himself because he is so afraid. If the prisoners have escaped, my life is forfeit. See, when you show up with Jesus, even in just your song, whatever that might mean, because it's never just a song, you can bear witness to the shattering of prisons and you find free prisoners and free prison guards. We all get made more free by this, friends. Free from structures of economies of oppression, free from lives ruled by fear, free from power over. It is hard and it is tender, but it is the way of liberation that we have been gifted with by the Holy Spirit. This liberation is in every part of our society and our culture. So this weekend, we do, as a nation, celebrate Memorial Day, honoring the military service and sacrifice of those who died in service to our country. Often this is attributed to the practices of the United States and the Confederacy of States during and after the Civil War. In its own way, then, Memorial Day has complex connection to the freedom of many people, if not all, from the horror and diminishment of spirit that was enacted in our country's practice of chattel slavery. Its connection with real freedom, not stuff that ends up on a t-shirt, is not hard to find. I have often struggled with the complicated balance of how we talk about freedom fought for and given up in relation to military service. It's an interesting thing to note the many people who have died for our country through very little choice of their own, either through our practice of the draft, various financial systems that allowed the wealthy to escape it, all the way through to the economic inequality that has made elective military service one of the few ways out of poverty today. Most of the people I know who have stars on their shoulders will tell you, abolishing the draft has profoundly changed the way that we wage war as a culture and as a nation. I also think of my generation of veterans who have much more complicated relationships with the wars that they were called to serve in, and hence with the loss of friends and compatriots they experienced in those wars. Their wounds are real, they are moral, and they are serious. Like disciples, then, my prayer and my hope for the souls of those we remember this weekend is that we honor them enough to make sure they gave their lives not for an empty glory, not for some abstract sense of freedom, but they knew, and we live, hopefully, what Julia Ward Howe wrote to an old soldier's campfire song, that they knew Christ's glory, which could transfigure you and me as Christ died to make us holy, let us die to make all free. God's truth is marching on. Not surprisingly, a lot of people prefer to live to make all free. I've noticed that the words have changed through the years. And so it was the living that Abraham Lincoln called to be dedicated to the cause of liberty by the sacrifice of so many on the fields of Gettysburg, that we might take increased devotion to that cause for which they there gave the last full measure of devotion. And so should we increase our devotion to proclaim freedom for all. Freedom from structures of slavery and abuse. We must be dedicated. We must sing out. We must be part of Christ's call, which can shatter prisons and free us from the ways we have been bound and the ways we have bound other people. From slavery, from dehumanization, from violence and war itself, we must lift every voice and sing until freedom means something for us all. May it be so. Amen.